The Vault of Silliness has produced a tape labeled July 20th and 21st, 1996. Though it was Friday night, Norm was on at midnight, so it's Saturday morning the 21st. Now that I've bored you with that info, let's move on. I'll call this episode Talk and Callers. I found this a great example of a regular Norm show. No dumb birthday game, just talk and callers. Tom Howie is producing. We begin with Norm and I hanging out and talking about the 100th anniversary of Revere Beach, the nation's first public beach. There are references to the first guest, Edward Mader, who was the director of the Bata Shoe Museum in Toronto. The show comes full circle at the end when a caller talks about the guest as well. Unfortunately, the interview was not included here. This is one of those times, and there will be many more, where I wish I had access to the WBZ logger tapes to comb through them and extract these interviews. Ceslavi. Somehow, talk of Revere Beach and shoes leads to stand-up comedy and particularly a comedian whom Norm really enjoyed, the late Richard Jenny. Then we move on to water quality and back to Revere Beach, where Norm recalls, with great detail, a life-changing experience he had there. You won't want to miss that. And this was all while Edward Mader was on hold. We then jump, ever so briefly, to a caller, and Norm reveals what impresses him the most about people. Then we move on to Ruth Klenet, otherwise known as Dave Maynard's Ruth. She and Norm discuss a variety of topics, including the WBZ Farm Stand, which was being held a week later than usual due to the party being planned for WBZ's 75th anniversary. And Norm discloses his secret energy booster he used during his boxing days that prepared him for 15 rounds of heavyweight battle. We also learn that for all the traveling Dave Maynard would do and advertise, Norm Nathan, that's right, Uncle Norm, was heading up a cruise to Bermuda. Stay tuned to hear the commercial promo for that later in the program. We hear from Bob in Pennsylvania, who talks road construction history. We have a caller who's owned a barbershop for 32 years in downtown Boston. The tape then moves to side B, and later that morning, we hear from the exuberant David from Weymouth with a great story. Lisa, who's interested and frustrated by computers. Norm tells a sweet story about visiting Italy. Anne from Lowell sings a song. Norm does some on-air editing of two news briefs. And Norm's new best friend, Tom, wraps up the night with a fun call. We close with a little news from Bill Lawrence on the 96 Olympics. Commercials featured in this episode: WBZ Traffic on the Threes promo, Lippincott Dental with a weird offer, Majesty Cruise Lines and their Jazz and Blues Cruise to Bermuda with Norm, a TV Guide subscription spot with a bonus gift that may be just too hard to pass up. And speaking of passing, a commercial for the Cremation Society of Massachusetts. Did I make an ash of myself with that joke? Before we begin, I have a disclaimer. Please keep in mind that broadcasting is for casual, silly people, and Norm is a very serious person who should not be in broadcasting. Thank you.
Now I got them all on it. You're not coming in on any of them. Would you call the, which one?
Number three.
Number three. No, number three is not in operation. I'm sorry, I asked you. Number four.
Number four.
Number four does not. No, none of these things. Nothing's happening.
Oh, I know why.
Could we call the chief engineer, get him out of bed, bring him in and stuff, just to aggravate him? I just love to aggravate him a lot. Anyway, tonight was the weekend night. This is the weekend of the 100th anniversary of Revere Beach.
Yes, it was.
Oh, there you are. You kind of sneaked up on us. Revere Beach is where I kind of grew up. That and Salisbury Beach, because my folks came from Haverhill and Lawrence, so we'd go to Salisbury Beach too. But I grew up in Everett, and we take what was called a blue bus service, bus lines. But as you may have guessed, the bus was blue.
Oh, it was blue.
So we had no imagination at all. We called it the blue bus. And we go to Revere Beach.
Yeah.
And it was such a great thrill. I wish I could recapture that thrill. And I've always resented them tearing down the whole amusement section. I don't care how lousy it may have looked to some. It doesn't make any sense for them to have done that.
Those monstrosities that they put up.
Well, I mean, they're just, it's like a million other places. Revere Beach was unique. And so now, in order to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the oldest public beach in the United States.
And this unique right there, even without the amusements, since they shouldn't have done that just because of that reason.
That's right. So now they're going to try to recreate a lot of the stuff they had.
For 2 days.
And I talked to one of the producers. Forgive me for not knowing his name. I don't know a lot of the TV people. But he was very nice. He just came back and they covered it. Apparently this was the opening night. Yeah. Saturday night is the fireworks. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow, I believe it's, It has to be the governor. It can't be the mayor of Boston, because he would have nothing to, you know, he wouldn't have any connection with Revere Beach. But he's going to be there as part of the ceremonies in the afternoon. Hold on just a minute. I'll find it. Yeah. At 1:30 Saturday afternoon, Governor Weld will participate in ceremonies commemorating the 100th anniversary of Revere Beach. Later on, we have a guest who's coming on first. That's Edward Mader, who's director of the Bata Shoe Museum in Toronto, North America's first and only shoe museum, and houses the world's finest collection of, obviously, shoes, as you would probably guess.
And related items.
Maybe
shoelaces, maybe a couple of aglets.
Aglets is good. A lot of people don't know that's what you call what is at the end of the shoelace.
Yes.
That keeps them going through the hole.
Yeah.
No, those are aglets. That's right. I believe we did a whole thing on somebody who gave remote names for things. I've been so educated by this program. I know when I was working at WHDH, simply staying up all night playing jazz, I would not never known about what an aglet is.
You're a dumb guy.
I was really stupid, yeah. But anyway.
Cool. You were really cool.
I was cool, man.
But you were stupid.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, man. Yeah, man. For all you folks out there necking at the reservoir, be careful now. We didn't say use protection because we didn't know about, I mean, we knew there was such a thing, but we didn't know about diseases or anything like that.
And you couldn't say that then anyway.
No, we couldn't say that. Well, that's right. But the interesting thing about shoes, we'll get back to a couple other things I want to mention in a minute, is that apparently they indicate a whole lot. They're historically interesting in trends and the kind of person you are and all of that. And so that'd be kind of fun, because I just throw on a pair of, you know, shoes, occasionally get something that you can spray on them to make them look like they're not as old as they really are, and I don't really care. But there are people who do care and really know about them.
Yeah.
I always suspected maybe more women than men, but I don't think that's true. I think men care. Also, but anyway, we'll talk with Ed Mader about that.
There was always advice you used to get. You have any advice? And people would say, wear sensible shoes.
Yeah, nobody knew. I guess what that means is...
for anything, it was like, well, whatever it is, just wear sensible shoes.
Yeah, because you're going to be walking around the city a lot and looking up at the tall buildings.
Get a job interview, wear sensible shoes.
Yeah, sensible shoes, but maybe a little bit dressy.
Yeah, you got to be, you know, mucking out a stall, wear sensible shoes.
Right.
Just whatever makes sense for the certain thing you'll be doing, that's a sensible shoe.
And if you're going to the 100th anniversary of the Revere Beach,
sensible sandals.
Sensible shoes to wear through the sand.
Sandals.
Because I guess they've set up a whole bunch of stuff along the beach. I don't know which
Could
end
I have
of the...
Nickel hot dogs? I doubt that.
No, Joe and Nemo stuff. Yeah, that, you know, nickel everything. They used to have nickel day. So every ride was just a nickel. But I guess other than that, some of them could cost as much as a dime. Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I do remember some of the rides, even though it was, I think the Cyclone, when did that burn down? The early 70s?
I lose track of time, but that was the big roller coaster.
I just remember always going on the whip.
Oh, the whip was enough to break your neck.
Yeah, I always remember riding the whip, the old rickety whip that they had down there.
You know. I always loved the Dodgems, too. They were always kind of fun. And, of course, the merry-go-round, that was for sissies, I liked it. I like going on the merry-go-round.
And the calliope.
I love the sound of the sound of the calliope. And reaching for the brass ring so you'd get a free ride next time.
What was that? Reaching for?
Yeah, they had a kind of an overhang thing on it. I can't quite describe it. It would be within your reach if you were riding one of the horses on the outside part of the carousel, or the flying horses, as we call them. You could reach out to this, and there'd be rings inside this thing.
Yeah.
You could, and if you got one, and it was a brass ring, I guess. I don't know.
There's what... that phrase. He's reaching for the brass ring.
For the brass ring. Yeah, then you could turn that. Yeah, that's the way where it came from.
Yeah.
And you could turn that in and you get a free ride, which was kind of nice.
Wow. Now, I'm learning stuff.
Yeah, and if business was really slow, they'd keep it going longer, you know, because there'd be a guy on the side there who controlled.
What about at the end of the night? What time did that place close back then? What was...
Oh, I don't know. I know you're not going to believe this, the fact that I was young at one time. It just seemed to me at the, you know, by 12, 1 o'clock, they had a nightclub there, the Frolics.
Yeah.
Jackie Mason played there, as a matter of fact. Anyway, we'll go into more depth later on with other people with their memories, but I still remember getting off the Blue Bus.
Smelling the salt air.
Oh, the salt air smelled so great. And it was at Punk's Corner. That's where the kids from Chelsea and Everett, and because that's where the Blue Bus went.
Yeah.
And that's where the bandstand was, and we call that Punk's Corner. I guess we never were insulted by any of that, but that was named after us.
Punk's Corner.
Punk's Corner. See at Punk's Corner.
Anyway, the bandstand is still there. Was that the same bandstand?
I don't have
any idea. They refurbished, you know, some parts of the area, but the bandstand. Yeah.
I know they brought more sand out and everything because there was a lot of erosion it set in. I don't know. We'll find out. Later on, we'll ask people to call in and stuff and see what their memories are. That's part one. Part two, hold on, Ed Mader. You're a nice man. We'll talk shoes in just a second. But I saw a comic who I had once seen doing an HBO special. And most comics on television, especially the improv, to me are totally unfunny.
The majority are not very funny.
Most of them really are not.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had his own hour special. I'd never heard of him before. Name is Richard Jenny. Oh, J-E-N-I. You know that name?
Mm-hmm. Platypus Man.
Platypus Man. That's right. I sat at the edge of my bed watching him on HBO, roaring. I'm by myself, screaming with laughter. Because I don't remember anybody being that funny. Anyway, Sonia, my older daughter... Notice I said older, not oldest, because that's grammatical. More than three or more is oldest.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. You're very good.
But it always sounds phony, so you have to explain it. In any event, she took me as her guest to see the Platypus Man. And she had never heard of him before. And I was asking some people around here, who is that person? Is that a security guard?
No, he isn't. He's a TV guy.
Oh, he's a TV guy. No wonder he looks so impressive. TV people look very impressive. We do, too, except nobody can see us, so it doesn't really matter. I was talking about Rick Jenny. Have you ever seen him? Richard Jenny?
No.
No, and I asked Tom.
Who really, Tom?
Tom had not heard of him, and Don?
No kidding.
Nobody had heard of him. My daughter had never heard of him.
I knew who he was when you told me about it.
Yeah,
I knew who he was.
And he was, to watch him, he was at the Comedy Connection. Mm-hmm. The place was jammed, and he was absolutely hilarious. The only problem I had with the night is it was kind of warm there, and really heat and humidity just drives me crazy. I nearly wandered off up to the stage and collapsed. I thought maybe as he finished his act, that would be kind of a good finish. I can't even, maybe later on. I don't want to keep Ed Mader waiting too much longer, but... Anyway, I'll talk more about him later. He's one of the funniest people I have ever seen. And coming from me, that's high praise, is it not?
Of course, because you've seen a lot of people.
I've seen a lot of people. I've seen them from some of the comics who performed in Greece during that beautiful age of Greece back there.
Used to be an Olympic event.
That's right.
Comedy.
It was the first year they carried the torch, and that was where the marathon was born. And the first... In fact, the first comic was named Meyer Marathon. I don't know what I'm talking. Our TV friend has just left. He says he's had enough of this kind of business. Anyway, there was another guy. This is the only thing that bothers me because I can't think of the other fellow's name, who came out as a warm-up act, I guess you would call it, although they're both pros and you wouldn't think either one needed a warm-up. But he came out, and at first he really aggravated me because he would say things like, "How are you all tonight?"
Yeah.
And I hate
them. Hello, Boston.
Yeah.
Great to be here in Boston.
Yeah, and you say, you don't even care. Why are you asking that? It's just kind of, you're trying to ingratiate yourself with us. But as he went along, he won me over because he had some very, very funny material also. And then, anyway, he was on for a short time. And out came Jenny, who performed, I think, for over an hour at very high velocity. And his stuff is just wonderful. If you ever get a chance, well, he's doing a second show. He may be on right this very moment.
Probably, yeah. Because the judge is finishing up now, yeah.
Yeah. This would be about the
last call, heading into last call.
Yeah, of the show itself. Anyway, funny man. I wish we had had him on the show. I hadn't thought of it before. But also, I'm going to get a chance to see Jackie Mason. I usually hate dialect comics, but I think he is very, very funny. Yeah. And he'll be at the North Shore Music Theater doing a one-night stand there on Monday night. And so this is my comedy weekend.
You betcha. Laugh It Up with Norm Nathan and the folks.
Yeah, we did our old-time radio show last night out in Lynn. The reason I mention that is because the place that we did it at is right near the road that goes to Nahant, that part of... We were there. I think you were there. Were we ever there with me one time?
I don't think so. Near Kings Beach, in that area?
Well, a little further toward, more toward the Nahant side.
Okay, yeah.
But that salt air, you could smell that there, too, and it just reminded me so much of getting off the Blue Bus in Riviera. I love that Blue Bus. And just the first smell of the air, you couldn't wait to get the sand in your toes and go off into the water on a hot day.
Yep.
Those were nice things. When did we lose that enthusiasm? You probably haven't, because you're still young.
I was never a beach person.
Yeah.
Not, you know, too much. But it was, you know, enjoyable enough. And it hasn't been because of the water. But the water is almost back. It's pristine. That's probably pushing it. But it is much cleaner than it ever has been.
No, that's been true.
No beach closures.
Yeah.
There's no that horrible smell you get sometimes. That all that's gone. So the money we've paid for this harbor cleanup actually...
No, it does work.
You can see it.
It's worked with the Merrimack River, for example, which was so polluted. The people were talking about using it for landfill, you know, pretty bad.
And now you can actually fish out of it.
Yeah, the salmon are back there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And people can swim. Up to a few years ago, you wouldn't have dared go in there. I mean, you'd contact every disease in the world.
At one point, I had some friends who had brought their kids to Revere Beach. This was years ago, before the harbor cleanup. And you could get out of the water and literally wipe stuff, just like a film would be on you.
What a shame, because it's
not like that anymore.
It's such a blessing for us to have all these things. There used to be a joke about Revere Beach. This has to do with a mild case of pollution. They'd say, can you spell Revere Beach? Let's see, P. Wait a minute, there's no P in Revere Beach. You haven't been in the water, eh? Something would be a lot of that kind of stuff. I still remember the older women who were probably my age then. That is what my age is now. And they would go into the water and lower the straps on their bathing suits, these fat, funny-looking ladies. And they would do something with their breasts underwater, but you could see it because it would come above the waterline.
They were buoys.
They were sort of grabbed, you know, they wouldn't grab them. It wasn't a sexual thing.
No.
God knows it wasn't that, I tell you.
And but it still isn't now.
No, it still isn't even in memory now. It's even uglier. And they would sort of hit themselves under there, and the breasts would kind of fly up and down. It was their way of cooling off.
It's like whales with the flukes in the water splashing, saying hello.
It was a sight that you should be lucky that you missed.
Jeez.
Broadcasting and has been for seven centuries. Thank you. Anyway, we'll be here through the night. Our phone number is 254-1030. The area code to Boston, of course, 617. And a little bit later, we'll be playing the dumb birthday game at 3. If you want to call Tom about that, Tom Howie, and say, hey, I'd like to play the dumb birthday game. It sounds like fun. Even though you have crummy prizes, hey, what the heck? Okay, just give him a call. Meantime, if you want to call me about the celebration of Revere Beach, or if any have our own ideas about that, and maybe it's kind of hard to express, I'll tell you what my ideas are. Then I would like very much to know what your ideas are about like that, Anne.
Oh.
What's most profound about people? What's interesting about them?
And, well, what impresses you
most? What impresses you most about people? I think what impresses me most is, I guess, somebody who's, you know, sensitive, somebody with a sense of humor. If they have no sense of humor, they're off my list right off, you know?
Yeah.
A sense of humor and a kind of keeping life in some kind of perspective. These are kind of vague answers, I know. But that would be about it. There's somebody you could talk with, and they understand what you're talking about, and they don't say, kind of mumble at you, only because they're kind of on the same wavelength. I think that would be the most interesting kind of person I would like to get to know.
Yes, yeah. Well,
what about you? And I know
right
where that is.
Ferry Street.
Yes, I know where it is. I had a friend of mine, I think his name was Robert Silverman.
Oh.
I never found out what happened to him. He was going to get into the entertainment business. I think he went to Emerson. He lived on Belmont Street, I think so, or near there. Yes, and I thought, Robert Silverman, one day we'll hear that name again. And I never heard that name again, ever.
Maybe he's Seinfeld.
He may have changed it to Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld, that may be. No, he was not. No, Robert Silverman was a kind of a big guy and kind of pudgy in a very soft kind of way. You know how you look at some fat people and they, for example, like the late William Conrad. He looked kind of rugged.
Right.
Even though he was fat.
Right.
Other fat people you look at, like maybe Fatty Arbuckle, they look like their whole body would sway when they walk. You know, they look very soft. That was Robert Silverman.
Well, maybe he's listening.
Well, I hope so, because I'm trying to aggravate him a lot until he finally calls me and says, why don't you shut your freaking mouth? Anyway, he wanted to get into
showbiz.
And he went to Emerson, I believe. And he was very much interested in the theater.
Wow.
And that was the last I'd heard of him. And that wasn't too long ago. I think the last I'd heard of him was at the most 50 or 55 years ago.
You don't think it's your friend Robert?
No, I know it's not my friend Robert.
Good.
No, I'm sure of that.
I wanted to tell you two things. Did you want to tell me that you like Maureen McGovern?
Yeah, I thought, I'm not a big fan, but I think she sings pleasantly.
Well, you might be bigger now because she's on the road with the Duke Ellington's son.
He just died, Mercer Ellington.
Yeah, well, she was on the road with him, and she just has a new CD came out this week, and she's done all, I haven't got it yet, but she has all the music of Harold Allen and Johnny Mercer.
Wow.
I saw her the other morning on Regis and Kathy Lee, your favorite people, but she sang Come Rain or Come Shine. It was really good.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful song. I've always loved that. I'd like to sing it for you now, if you don't mind.
Now, wait a minute. I want to tell you something. I almost was going to call you and take you on a trip.
Oh.
I want to tell you what happened. Thursday,
yes.
I went in the store because you know I'm a big lottery player. And I bought a Mass Cash Quick Pick. And would you believe I had 4 out of the 5 numbers. I was one number away from $100,000.
Oh, and if anybody ever deserved that kind of money, it certainly is you, Ruth.
Can you imagine that? One number away from all that money.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I can imagine. It better be about 3 numbers away. You don't feel so badly.
That's right.
But to be that close and not make it.
And be that close because it's really kind of, it's very nice. I'm happy that I won something, but you win $250 if you get 4 and you win $100,000 if you get 5.
So you made $250 anyway.
Yeah, right. I could buy a cookie and a glass of milk.
don't get wise with me.
No, I'm not.
$250.
No, that's nice.
No, that'll buy you, probably in addition to that, a bowl of lemon Jell-O. And maybe a Nabisco cracker with some peanut butter.
As a matter of fact, I was out late tonight, and I had some raspberry Jell-O with a little Cool Whip just now before I called.
With Cool, that is so nice.
A little fat-free Cool Whip.
That's so refreshing.
Isn't that cute?
Yes. Before I go in for my heavyweight fights, I always have raspberry jello with Cool Whip.
Isn't that
and
nice?
It gives me that added strength that'll carry me through 15 rounds.
A lot of energy, right?
Yeah, too bad. Too bad I got knocked out in the first 12 seconds of the first round. But it would carry me through if I knew what I was doing.
Did you open your mail?
Yes, I did get that note.
Good. Because pretty soon you'll let me talk about it. See, I'm good. I'm not saying a word about it.
No, this is happening in September.
I know, that's why.
It's getting a little closer, too.
It is.
Yeah, this is the... I know that you don't want to talk about the WBZ Farm Stand, but Dave Maynard signing these letters, and I know he doesn't sign them. It's all from you.
No, it's actually his. He did sign when he was up here to accept his award for Children's Hospital.
Okay.
And he did, and now he'll be in Boston very soon for the rest of the summer.
Oh.
Because he misses you. Actually, he just came back. He was on a trip in Alaska, lady was talking about, but I don't know anything about it yet.
Yeah, we're both taking a similar trip. Not at
I
the
just
same
heard
time.
That for the first time.
Yeah, he comes on and pitches his Bermuda trip, which is in the end of September.
Yeah, right. I just heard that.
Yeah, and mine
there
is...
There it goes. I just heard.
Yeah, mine starts September 8th. But mine, I'm kind of incidental to the whole trip, I guess. Frugal Fannies is the big star of that one. But I'm anxious to it because we're going to have a lot of jazz and blues local musicians.
You know? I was going to ask you.
I'm not sure. We've kind of revamped the thing. Originally, it had people like Rebecca Paris and a lot of the local people who are really first-rate entertainers on it.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gotten a lineup now because the... Anyway, I don't know all the details as yet, but there'll be some good people on that, and I'd be kind of fine. I've never been to Bermuda.
I was just gonna say, have you ever been? I have never been either. How do you like that? David's been 105 times. Don't you think you're gonna take me once?
You think he would, but come on, sir. I don't want everybody to hear this.
We know he's a cheap guy.
Okay, that's exactly what I was gonna say. He's not a good person.
No, he's a good person.
No,
but he's
not.
A cheap.
Don't tell me he's a good person. If you've been...
He loves you.
Well, he's a good person, then. That's different.
He thinks you're the funniest person in the entire...
I know, he always says that. He always says that.
He doesn't even have to... He just walks down the hall and looks at you when he laughs.
I know that. I don't think that has anything to do with humor. I think he thinks I'm a funny-looking, freaky-looking guy, and that makes him laugh.
No, absolutely not. He always tells me the same thing. He thinks you're the funniest guy he knows, he's ever known. He thinks your sense of humor is magnificent.
I think what's going to happen now, we're going to have to determine whether or not he gets more people on his Bermuda trip. It's going to be competition here. Or whether I get more on my Bermuda trip.
Well, we got sidetracked on that, and we just didn't mention the farm stand, you see?
Oh, the farm stand, that's right.
See?
Tell me the date again, if you have.
September 21st.
Why did I have to drag it out of you?
Actually, I told you we're having it a week later, because on the 19th, they're celebrating the 75th birthday of WBZ Radio.
The 75th birthday of WBZ Radio.
That's right. There's going to be some kind of big... hullabaloo, but I don't quite know what it is yet either. You know, that whole week, and we'll be part of that.
But isn't that incredible? That means the station went on the air in 1921.
Right.
1921.
Imagine that.
That's one of the few things that happened before I was born.
I know.
That's how far back that goes.
And so we're going to have an extra... I'm really working very hard this year. We're going to have a bigger flea market. And we're going to have a bigger raffle. I've got some wonderful restaurants this year who have really biggie restaurants, you know, who have given us some nice gift certificates. And we're going to have all the same stuff, good music and breakfast. And I found the people up on the farm there up in New Hampshire. The nice man who always gave us blueberries passed away, but somebody bought his farm, and they said, if we come up and pick them, we can have all the blueberries we want to cook Normie a pancake breakfast.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, tell me the date again.
September 21st.
September 21st, which is a Saturday.
I'll be telling you quite often.
No, I'm sure you will.
It's in between your two trips to Bermuda.
That's right. It's when I come back and before Dave goes out with his... Because I'll have about 2 million people on my trip.
And he'll only have me.
He'll have about, at the most, maybe 3 people. It'll be so lonesome for that poor soul. Okay. What is the musical group? Do you have a musical group selected? Because I met somebody the other day who was with that musical group that was excellent that were there last year, and I can't think of the name of it.
The Danceables?
No, they weren't. Remember, they were in a fire truck?
Oh, I know who you mean. Oh, goodness. I'm very tired.
And this was one of the musicians who was in that group.
Yeah, actually, I can't. Isn't that terrible? I know the man's name is Bob McGinnis, who is the head of that band, and I can't think of it for the second. It's very late for me. No, it isn't, but I just can't think of it. But anyway, they've been invited, and they come every year, so I'm sure they'll be here. If I got out of bed and got my paper, I could tell
well,
you.
Well, it's okay. Between now and September 21st, we have time to work that out.
We have like a dance band and that band, and they're like Dixieland and jazz.
They were fun because I remember the guy mentioned it. I forget where I bumped into him. And I said, you came by in the fire truck. And he said, yes, this is an interesting conversation I'm carrying on now. I love to recreate boring
the
conversation.
The new Liberty Jazz Band.
Is that it?
It's in my head, yes. Because I feel terrible. I can't remember, but I have all these thousands of letters that I've sent out.
The new
Liberty Jazz Band.
New Liberty Jazz Band.
And we also have the Danceables. So we have two different kinds of music. But you know what I need very badly?
Yeah.
I need ponies for the pony ride, because the nice lady that brings the pony, she has another commitment, so she was very nice, and she sent me some very nice gift certificates to raffle off for lessons at her riding academy.
Mm. Where is that?
In Quincy. St. Moritz Riding Academy in Quincy.
In Quincy.
Well, why don't you bring your horse?
I can bring my horse.
Could you bring your horse?
I can bring my horse.
Or get me some ponies.
Yeah, now, we used to have a whole bunch of ponies in Middleton. At one time, they're not there now, and I don't know who has ponies now.
Well, there's a lot in the Yellow Pages, but I'm waiting for David to come home so Pat can do a little work.
Okay. Oh, I see. That's a little bitterness in what you just said, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I've been here for 3 months working on all this, and then all of a sudden they come in and they say, is it done? So we'll give them a little lift. You know who's always really nice? You must know those people in Middleton, the Richardson Farm.
Oh, sure.
And ice cream, they come every single year, and they supply us with ice cream.
Do they? That's
every year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Paul Richardson's a friend of mine.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been there every year.
No, it's a small town, and we all know each other pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
And the other night, I was coming down this country road, which is right near where I live, and I was in back of a car that was in back of a tractor, and I said, blind, from the back, that looks so much like Paul Richardson. He's a young, comparatively young guy, but he runs the whole thing. His father did before him, and his grandfather.
Yeah.
Well, the family's lived in town for like 300 years. And I knew his father, who I really liked, but who I would never do business with. He was a shrewd old Yankee,
really?
You know, fool with.
Yeah.
But a nice man. I really liked him a lot. Mm. Anyway, I'm coming down, it's now Dayton Street, it's called, in Danvers, which is across from Gregory Street in Middleton, and it's all open farm country through there behind the old Danvers State Hospital and stuff. And I looked up and I thought, and this tractor is pulling over as far to the side as they can, but it's a narrow road and it's a wide tractor. So we're not going anywhere. And finally, the guy passes him, the one in front of me. And I thought, boy, that's going to be Paul on that tractor. Anyway, he pulled aside, and there he was.
And it was him.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who owns an entire empire of stuff.
But he's wonderful to us. Really, every single year, he brings a truck and all the ice cream you want and everything.
He's a good guy. He's helped an awful lot of people within the town also as well. He's good people. Uh-huh. He's okay.
I have another friend who I worked with for a long time in the hotel, who knows you very well, but he always says, he always meets you at the dump. Tom Moore.
Oh, that's where we do meet at the dump.
I worked with him in the hotel for many years. He's one of my best, dearest friends.
Do you
know, when I was sick and I was having chemotherapy, he wouldn't like me to tell you this, but I'm telling you because he's asleep, I'm sure. He drove me to the hospital every single day. I've known him since he was 19 years old. And really, he's a super guy.
It's very nice. Tom Moore, yeah.
He meets you in the dump. As a matter of fact, he came out to take me somewhere yesterday, and he said, he saw your daughter. He said, I can't believe you called me today because I just was talking about you to Sonia. about your assignment.
Okay.
Right.
Isn't that nice?
Is that cute?
That
see?
Is very,
and
very cute.
And pretty soon we'll be married, you and I.
Okay. Sonia and I went to see, she took me to see Richard Jenny. Do you know that name? Nobody seems to know that name, and yet the Comedy Connection where he played was full of people. I'd seen him on television, and I told Sonia, but she had never heard of him before.
I don't know.
And she came to see him, and Tom Howie, who's our producer, he'd never heard of him. The place was jammed, and
really?
He did two shows Friday night and two more this past night. I'd seen him on an HBO special. I thought he was one of the funniest guys I'd ever seen in my life.
Really? Was he good?
He was hilarious. He's excellent. Oh, excellent.
Good.
One of the funniest people ever. And Sonia saw him for the very first time. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because there aren't a whole lot of really funny people, and this guy's one of them.
But maybe he's Richard Silverman.
Robert Silverman. No, Robert Silverman, I told you, the fat guy whose stomach kind of shook like jelly when he walked. And he was, no, he wasn't. Would you cops stop saying you're tired? Nobody cares.
I know nobody cares.
No, nobody cares. People are up and they're trying to laugh a little bit and have fun. And you keep fetching about how you're tired.
Well, do you want me to tell you why?
No, I don't want to. Why you're tired?
I have another little part-time job we're not talking about. And I worked for 9 hours today. See? So I just got home and I wanted to listen to you. And I'm not tired. Now you woke me up.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I'm going to have to leave you now because there's a guy from Pennsylvania calling. He might be more interesting than you. I'm not really sure. We'll have to
Well, I'll see you at the farm, Stan, and I'll cook you some breakfast.
I can only make it if it's on September 21st.
That's the only day we'll be there. Right across the street from WBZ.
I'm glad you made it convenient for me.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Habitated by really weird people. Have you noticed that? I don't understand that. You know what? I should have been either a dentist, an oral surgeon maybe somebody dealing in root canals, or a certified public accountant. I don't have the kind of casual, silly kind of feeling that people in broadcasting seem to have. I'm a very serious person. Thank you very much. And now I'd like to take off my clothes. For you. Thank you. What a sickening thought that is. I'm getting silly. Okay, Bob in Pennsylvania. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Norm.
Hi, Bob.
You're right up my alley tonight with this road building stuff.
This road building stuff?
Yeah, about the highways and that, because I have a book here that I bought about a month ago up at the, do you know where the Horseshoe Curve is on the old Pennsylvania Railroad line? Ever hear that?
No, I don't know that. I don't know that, Big Bob. And I'm sickened by the fact that I don't know that.
Oh, it's not necessary for you to know.
No, but I mean, for me not to know that, I think it's humiliating.
Oh, no.
Okay, I won't feel bad.
Okay, I bought a book here at their gift shop. It's called Vanderbilt's Folly. It's the history of the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Ah.
Okay, and in the book here, you were talking about the Lincoln Highway.
Yeah, do you know where was that?
That ran from New York City all the way to Los Angeles.
Okay, now
San Francisco.
Oh, had nothing to do with Route 66.
No,
that highway,
none whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the Lincoln Highway was built in 1916.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now, does it still exist?
Oh yeah. In fact, why I'm calling you was I was heading for Gettysburg. I went to get down there by 6 in the morning, and I heard you talking, so I turned around, come home, and called you.
No kidding. No, what a weird thing to do, Bob. I'm glad you're weird anyhow.
You ought to see me in a mirror.
I'm glad you are weird, because weird people are my favorite kind of people. So
you're right.
What are you going to do now? Are you going to leave and go down there now?
Yeah, well, after I talk to you.
Okay. Now, have you been to Gettysburg before?
Oh, yeah, I've been there lots of times.
Oh, God, you're from Pennsylvania, so you would. No, I've been there, and that's a fascinating place. I love it there.
It's about 240 miles from where I live.
Wow.
But the Pennsylvania Turnpike was originally a route for a railroad built by William Vanderbilt.
Really?
And they started work on it in 1883, and they stopped work on it in 1885. But they had a good bit of it done, and you know, there was originally, I think, 11 or 12, no, let's see, 9 tunnels on it. I have a map here in front of me in this book.
Mm.
And that was the old railroad tunnels. And what started that was when the Roosevelt administration came in, and of course we were in the height of the Depression at the time, and war clouds were booming over Europe, and Roosevelt figured that we might need that highway.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So he had the WPA and the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, RFC, I think it's called, or something like that.
Right, yeah.
They funded up to about 45% of the road, you know, but with federal money.
Yes.
And then they finished the tunnels, and my older brother, he worked for a surveying company, and he surveyed those tunnels back before, you know, when they first started to work on it.
Mm.
But it was originally started out as a railroad.
It's kind of interesting, though, that the highway was built because of the problems that where it might have been needed to help the war effort. You know, you don't think of highways being built for that purpose, but what? Back then there weren't that many highways, I guess, you know, that could serve that kind of purpose. That's interesting. I didn't realize
that.
Well,
why do you think Hitler built the Autobahn? That was exactly what it was for.
No, that's true. That's true. I'd forgotten about that. Yes.
In fact, it shows a picture in here of Army trucks coming down the turnpike, Pennsylvania Turnpike, before it was finished, and they were using all four lanes heading one direction.
No kidding.
That was before the road was open, but I just thought that'd be interesting to you.
It is interesting to me, and I appreciate that. In fact, I might sing that entire theme song to that Lincoln Highway program.
I've been across Lincoln Highway all the way across Ohio and from the Ohio line all the way to Gettysburg on that road.
Wow.
And parts of that are grueling. Like, just past Johnstown, Pennsylvania, you go over top of the, what they call the Allegheny Ridge, and the elevation there is about 2,400 feet, and then the road just winds around, and there's a what they call a ship's hotel built there. It's no longer being used, but it's still there. And that is really steep. In fact, they give a graph in here. If you traveled Route 30 compared to the turnpike, you know, the amount of up and down travel you would have to go from, you know, elevation gain. Let's see if I can find it here. It's quite a distance. It's like you'd climb like 32,000 feet traveling interstate or Route 30, but on the turnpike you'd only travel like 3,200 feet up because it's a 3% grade. And I just bought this book up at that Horseshoe Curve.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, then, you know, you're talking about architecture. I'm an architect nut. Like, there's a lot of old towns around here, especially up below Altoona. There's a little town called Hollidaysburg, and you should see the architecture there from the old buildings built back in the 1840s. They're beautiful.
No, that's it's really nice, especially, you know, if they're preserving these buildings. Or is this one that you're talking about still in use?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them in these little towns around here. You know, we had these rains here a couple days ago.
I'm sorry, say that again?
We had a big rainstorm here a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And there's a little town north of here, about 80 miles north of here, called, I think it's Reynoldsville, and they had a terrible flood up there. But they rebuilt the main street of it, and it's you know, like it was in the 1800s. It's really beautiful.
I think that's fantastic. I think that's I think people are becoming more and more interested in that kind of thing than they ever were before.
Yeah. I've been retired now for 8 years, and boy, I've traveled all over Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I've been back some roads that just puts chills up your spine.
Because of their steepness? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, some of them are gravel roads, you know, just traveling the ridges, you know, in the mountains. You know, Pennsylvania, in the central part of the state, is pretty mountainous.
I know that. You have the name of the mountain is, wait a minute. I should know. No, tell me. I should know that. I've been through there.
The range is the Allegheny Mountain.
And what is the local... The local range called, the local area of the mountain of the Alleghenies. Aren't there some summer theaters there and stuff with the name as part of the summer theaters?
Summer theaters?
No, in that part of the mountainous country, What is that part of the mountain called? You know, aside from the fact that it's part of the Allegheny Range.
Well, that biggest mountain there, the highest peak that runs up through the center of the state, is called Allegheny Mountain. But then there's ridges. You know, you go over that one, and then you go down into a valley, and then go over another one. It's like that. Like between here and Altoona, there's four big ridges you have to go over.
Hmm.
And you start out with a little one, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, like that. And then once you pass Altoona, then you're going over other ridges. Like where Route 30 goes there from what they call the Breezewood Interchange on the turnpike on Route 30. Boy, that is really treacherous going up there. And that's the old route, you know, old Route 30.
Yeah.
Boy, it just winds up around there like a corkscrew.
No, that sounds like beautiful, absolutely beautiful country.
Oh, it is. There.
And I've been through parts of Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
especially around the Amish country and out that part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's been a very long while, and I have forgotten a lot of it. But I remember thinking how beautiful that was, because most people kind of stereotype an area by their cities, you know. So you think mm-hmm. of, well, it's Philadelphia, so therefore Pennsylvania's, you know, widely inhabited, and it's very thick with people and Pittsburgh and all that. But you forget all the country parts of Pennsylvania that are really so beautiful.
Oh, it's just the opposite of what you think of Philadelphia as being all of Pennsylvania. It's just the opposite. You can travel places here in central Pennsylvania and go for miles, never see a house.
Yeah, I don't know whether you can go that far without seeing a house in Massachusetts, but mm-hmm. people who think of Massachusetts, I think of Boston primarily. Although maybe they think of Cape Cod and all that, the western part of the state is totally different, and all states have so many interesting spots that it's kind of silly for us to just think in those kind of terms.
Mm-hmm.
But you're okay, Bob. Are you going to be leaving right as soon as you hang up?
Well, what time is it now by your clock?
It's 2:51.
Oh, is that all? About 10 minutes. I had to talk to you there, Norm.
Hey,
I just wanted to tell you about that.
I'm glad you did, Bob, and I appreciate it.
Well, you know, speaking of the Amish,
yeah,
we have a lot of Amish around here. In fact, today I went up to this Amish house, and I got a rhubarb pie and homemade bread and some tomatoes and a head of cabbage.
Sounds thrilling, especially the rhubarb pie.
Well, it was delicious.
Okay.
All right, Norm.
Have a good trip to Gettysburg, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I don't know why you keep doing that to yourself. I don't like you doing that. I'm going to come up there. I'm going to take your glasses off and spray them with glass wax or something. I don't know.
You don't
because
like...
you have a very good memory, and you keep knocking. I don't like that. I don't like that.
No, well, I...
You're a nice guy.
No, I don't...
And Ruthie, I was glad to hear Ruthie on again.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the fair, I used to go every year to the fair, and when he used to be downtown, at Downtown Crossing... I used to be there, and the cabbie that used to go, Wolfie, oh, my God, that brings back, you know, I was downtown for 32 years in my own barbershop down there.
Yeah.
And now I'm in New Bedford, where I was born 58 years ago.
Now, what are you doing down in New Bedford?
I live here.
No, I realize that, but you just sort of went back to your old hometown?
Well, my wife and I had a splitting, so I came back to my roots, as it were.
Oh, and how is it going? How are your spirits? You're okay? You're feeling better?
That's the thing, Norman. I'm in very good spirits. I'm cutting hair again. I have a gigantic barbershop. It's 50 by 20.
It's your own barbershop.
Yes.
You're not working for anybody.
No, I'm working for myself.
Great.
And I have all my old records from I've been going back to my house now. Mine and my wife. My wife lives there, but I still own part of it until the final decree. Anyways, and I must have about 500 old time records at the shop, going back to Nelson Eddy, Sophie Tucker.
Oh, gee.
All vinyl. Okay, and I've got three different record players, and I also have some new stuff. On cassettes, and I have tape recorders too. So whenever anybody comes into the shop, and I gauge them to be young or old, and I'll put on something, you know, something to what their era of music was. And I also have like Paula Abdul and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash for the young, and the Beatles, and I got a range of stuff here at the shop.
It's interesting. About a week or well, I guess maybe a few more weeks before that, I talked with a man who wrote a book on barbershops across America and the fact that they're kind of dying out in a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, the young kids coming out of barber school now, they all want to be hairstylists because they it's more money, okay?
Yeah, that's
and,
what I just
called. And the men, and when the men had the style for long hair, they started to go to their wife's beauticians. And they some of them continued, and then some of them just said, you know, enough is enough, and they went back to the regular barbers. But as far as regular, it's almost like priests. They're dying off. Guys that come out of high school, if they don't go to college, I don't know. Some of them, I guess, do become barbers. I don't know how many people are going to barber school.
Anyway, it says once with a car that says cheap, funky limo service. Oh, you're getting a free plug. That's okay. I'll do anything for a free little gift. Grape. This is Grape Poupon made with white wine, country Dijon mustard. No, it's a good mustard. I even buy them. Yeah, somebody dropped us off at the front desk with Dave Stewart, who's out there. No, is it Dave Stewart this morning? I think it's Dave. Yeah. No, it's not. His name isn't Stewart. It's Dave. Dave, the security guy. I've forgotten his last name, and I feel like a jerk. Anyway, it's from the business guy. It says cheap, funky limo service, party specialist. You drink, we drive. Funky limousine and party bus. You're in for the ride of your life. And they're in Brighton, or they're right down the road from us on Western Avenue. Ask about our Sober You drive plan. There's a number there, 783-2226, if you want a funky. I don't know what a funky limousine is. We ought to call them and find out what that is. Maybe they'll call us. Do you have any idea what a funky limousine is? Shall we call them? Okay, the number, it's six. Well, it's the 617 area code, because it's right around the corner from here. 732 service is. Okay. And Tom is making the call now. Maybe we'll hear the ring in just a little bit, and we'll put him right on the air, whoever it is. Thank you very much for dropping it off at the desk with security guard Dave. The roses all envy the bloom of your cheeks, and the sun even envies your smile. The poor weeping willow. I wonder if there'd be anybody at that number now, but then again, they just came by the station, so maybe they would be. The poor weeping willow, it weeps when you speak. Its songs don't seem half worth the while. Hold on, something is happening here, but I'm not quite sure what. Should I be listening, hearing something? No answer there? Okay. We'll try them another time. 254-1030, the area code here in Boston is 617. Let's go to David in Weymouth. Hi, good morning, David.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can we talk?
I think we can talk.
Can we talk? Do you remember me? Hello?
I know you're going to be shocked by this, David, but I really don't.
You forgot me? Let me give you a hint.
Yes?
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? Do you remember me now?
I still don't remember.
Miss Ross, Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall.
Miss Ross and I appeared center stage at Symphony Hall.
You and Diana Ross, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And you appeared with her on
center stage. June 10th, 1996.
Just within weeks ago.
Yes, and you forgot me already.
Well, I wasn't there. You called me to tell me about that.
Yes.
I
thought you might remember me if I sang one of her tunes.
No, I do remember that, David. I do.
No.
I forgot how you got on stage with
Diana
Ross.
You told me I needed to get a little more exuberance in my life.
That's right. Now, what? How did you, tell me again how you got on stage at Symphony Hall.
I was seated third row, dead center.
Yeah.
Miss Ross spotted me in the audience. I've seen her 50 times in person. I have a history with her. And she was singing Chain Reaction, and she blew me a kiss, and then she went into Upside Down, You're Turning Me, You're Giving Love Instinctively. And she said to me, come right up here and dance with me. And we sang and danced Upside Down. And then she said, do you know me? And I said, it's David. And we kissed and embraced. And then we sang and danced some more. And I got a standing ovation, Miss Ross and I. Oh, and I've been high as a kite ever since.
I think that's a wonderful experience,
no
David.
No. High enough. Nothing can keep me from you, as you know.
No,
music they were playing, they were like an hour long each, CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Starting in 1955, going all the way up to 1975. And a radio station used to run them every Saturday, and I would listen to them. So that's, and he was my favorite one out of the ones. I liked him a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he was on during the period you're talking about, late 50s.
Right,
and
that was before me, of course, but I really enjoyed
it. No, that's interesting that you would, yeah. Really golden oldies, I suppose, because they do predate you.
Oh, well, I'm very into oldies music.
What do you do now?
What do I do? Well, I'm still kind of not doing much right now.
Are you in between jobs, or you just can't find what you like, or what?
Both.
I see. Okay. What would you like to do?
Well, I like computers. Like computers a lot.
Are you pretty good with computers?
I'm learning now. I'm taking some classes now
with
computers, so I'm getting better at them.
Okay, so
I like technology and stuff like that.
So you ought to do very well. You're right in with what seems to be the big trends.
Although mine annoys me sometimes because it gets stuck in the middle of doing stuff, and you lose a whole bunch of stuff you were doing, and it like erases, and you have to do it all over again.
Okay, well that
happens to everyone.
No, I know it does. I know. My wife used to say that. I did 3 pages of news stories, and I lost them all on the computer. Can you still lose them in the computer? I thought they talk about anything you put on a computer is like there forever, including personal things about yourself or notes that you write about the boss or that kind of thing. Is that not true, or is that true of only some kind of computers?
Once you get it onto the disk, I believe it is pretty permanent, and they have way, even if you like lose power and stuff. But if you're right in the middle of doing something and it gets stuck, like mine does sometimes, it'll just get stuck in the middle of doing something, and the only way to get out of it is to like press the delete button, which deletes it all that you were working on if it hasn't been saved, if you haven't saved it yet.
Yeah, because I really don't know much about. I'm not good at computers. I should be better at it, and I will. I will try to get better. But there was a feature on one of the television programs about a week or two ago, mentioning the fact that within offices, sometimes people, the workers there, would send messages to each other, and sometimes they were the kind of messages you wouldn't want your boss to see or anybody.
I saw that.
Then you hit, and then you hit the delete button thinking it's all gone. But somehow or other, it was not all gone. It really was always there, or somebody could pick it up even then. I see, I don't understand enough about it to know just what that means exactly, but that sounds kind of scary to me.
Well, I'm not all that proficient yet either. I'm still learning, but I'm thinking. I've been in a class, and I like them. I enjoy it a lot, so I want to get really good at it.
And you will, because I can tell by your determination, Lisa, you're okay.
Thank you. And I appreciated the Italian you've been speaking tonight. Cause
well, are you Italian?
I'm Italian.
I see. No, I used to. The thing is that a lot of us in broadcasting, and I know that I am a good mimic. I can imitate the Italian sounds and French sounds also, or whatever the language.
Yeah,
doesn't mean I know the language though at all. And so you go into I remember going into a hotel in Paris, which is the worst place in the world to try out your French. They're really snots. And I remember saying something in French like, you know, do you have any rooms? Do you have a room for tonight? You know, monsieur. And my French was pretty, the accent is pretty good. The problem is when they answer you, then you've lost it. And they don't believe you really can't speak the language all that well, because when you do it without much of an accent, it sounds like you really do know the language.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I took four and a half years of French in high school, so I'm in college, some college. So I'm pretty good at that. But, yeah, I can't go too fast with it. So if they're talking fast, like if I was in France, I think I'd have some trouble.
Yeah, when you're in Italy, though. Have you ever been to Italy?
I was, but I was only 2 years old, so I don't remember.
Okay,
them.
Italians are much more lenient and understanding about that.
I'd like to go again
that.
Someday. I'd love to.
Yeah, they have a great compassion for people who are trying to speak the language, and they will help you along even if you don't do too well. And it's a lovely country with very warm people. So I think you'd enjoy. Please go and charge it to WBZ.
And I'd love to learn I've lost some of my Italian, because my parents are from Italy, and they came over as adults. So when I was growing up, me and my sister, they didn't speak much English, my parents, so we had to speak Italian mostly. But now they speak better English, so I've lost my Italian.
Yeah.
They've gotten better. And now we speak a mixture. Sometimes when I'm talking to my mother, I'll be like talking in Italian, and I can't remember the words, so I'll throw in an English one.
Yeah, or vice versa, I
exactly.
guess, sometimes, too, yeah.
And then my aunt came over from Italy a few years ago. She didn't speak any English, and I realized then how much I didn't speak it as well. And I feel bad about that. I should try to pick that back up again.
Well, if you visit Italy, which I hope you will do,
yeah,
you
so
can
too.
Brush up on it then. And I think after you've been there for just a little while, it'll come, you know, it'll all come clear to you.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I used to be fluent in it when I was a little kid. Really good in it.
Oh, then it'll come back to you. I promise you that, Lisa. If not, call me and yell at me.
Okay.
Hey, thank you very much. It's good to talk with you. Thank you.
That's good. Great talking to you, and I listen to you every night.
Thanks a million, Lisa. I appreciate that. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Italians are really warm about that. I don't know whether I mentioned this story on the air, but my wife and I had gone to Italy 1 year. And we stopped at this great restaurant in Rome. I don't know if it's a great restaurant. There are no terrible restaurants in all of Italy anyway. I don't think you could get a bad meal no matter where you went. You know? Just the cooking is superb. Anyway, or maybe we just hit the good ones. I'm not sure. But we're in the restaurant. And then a few years later, we went back, and we spent about 3 weeks in Italy on that time. And we went back to the same restaurant in Rome, and we told the waiter, hi, we were here 4 years ago, or whatever the time period was. And he brought out a big bottle of wine to celebrate our return. I sound like I'm playing up to the Italians, and I'm really not. They just happen to be very kind people, at least the ones we bumped into. And I thought that was kind of nice, like, you know, welcome back to the family again. Here's a, you know, big bottle of wine, and we're glad to see you again. That's the kind of country it is. It's really nice. Grazie. Grazie. You got to throw that in, did you?
You got to get to work with ease. You got to find the right route in. You got to lock it on in your car.
You got to be where you want to be.
On your way to work, on your way home, with traffic every 10 minutes.
3, 13, 20,
lock on News Radio 1030. Traffic on the free. Only here, WBZ.
News Radio 1030.
Here's an interesting commercial. People who will pay for your gold in your teeth, that's okay. If you want to dispose of your teeth, or your bridge work or something like that, you can get money for that. That's really nice. But you know what I fear? A whole lot of people, robbers and stuff, they're liable to hold you up and then rip out your teeth so they can make money on it. I don't want them to hear this commercial. Thank you.
Here's something you may not have realized. Recycled for cash. It's those old pieces of dental gold that you've saved over the years, like caps and bridges. They're worth lots of cash. And Lippincott Dental has a recycling department waiting to pay you cash. Lippincott buys dental gold from thousands of dentists. And now you can send your old dental pieces to Lippincott with 100% confidence using their free recycle kit. That's right. Lippincott will send you a free recycle kit and you'll be paid top prices because it's going directly to America's largest buyer of dental. Dental gold. For a free recycle kit, just call 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD. So gather up those old caps, parcels, and bridges. Each cap is worth up to $20, and the recycle kit is free. Call 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD. A recycle kit will be sent to you right away. Lippincott will send you a check for all your dental pieces, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. It's quick, and you receive top dollar for your old dental bridges and caps. Call 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD, and your free recycle kit is in the mail. That's 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD. Gold. Call now.
Well, that sounds like a Jack Benny skit. Hey, buddy. This is a holdup. Hand over your dental bridges and your partial plates. Anyway, let's talk with Ann in Lowell. Open your mouth. Let me look at your mouth, Ann.
Have a lovely day today. And whatever you gotta do.
You got a lovely day to do it in, that's true.
Happy birthday. I had a wonderful birthday party Tuesday, but you weren't on, so I saved it for today.
Okay.
You had it out in the stoop and nice ice cream cake. It was great.
Oh, I love ice cream cake. Happy birthday to you, Ann. That's
Thank
nice.
Thank you. And they remembered me on one of the ladies that listened in, when I called. And they said, now they're listening, and that makes you self-conscious.
No, you don't be self-conscious, because it's just you and I talking.
Because my sister still insists I can't sing. I said, I never said I was good.
No, you
I
didn't.
Like it.
No, you sang a pretty song, and that was, you did it very well.
Thank you, darling.
That was
I love you.
That, wait a minute, that's an Irving Berlin song?
Right.
From, show, from which show? Let's see, Miss Liberty? Maybe not.
Let me.
Yeah, I forget too, but I like it. It's a lovely day today, so whatever you got to do, you got a lovely day to do it in today.
Right.
Isn't that a nice thought?
Yes, and just for you, darling.
Thank you, Ann.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have some open lines at 617-254-1030. And I'd love to hear from you because you do have a lovely day today. So whatever you've got to do, give us a call. You've got a lovely day to do it in today. I'm really milking that. Anyway, 617-254-1030.
Call Your Majesty Cruise Experts at Carlson Bogenlee Travel at 1-800-646-SHIP to find out how you can set sail with WBC's Norm Nathan on Majesty Cruise Line's 7-night jazz and blues cruise to Bermuda, departing September 8th, exclusively from Carlson Bogenlee Travel.
Here is an exclusive offer from TV Guide, introducing the all-new AM-FM Baby Boombox. Use it in the kitchen or use it in the office, indoors or out. It's lightweight and weighs less than a pound. And best of all, TV Guide's Baby Boombox is free with your paid subscription to TV Guide. Every week, TV Guide brings you exciting interviews, in-depth previews, and special features. It tells you what's in, what's out, what's good, what's bad, what's hot, and what's not. Call this number now and get 52 issues of TV Guide for only 4 low payments of just $11.99 each, plus your TV Guide Baby Boombox. The number is 1-800-592-0770. That's 1-800-592-0770. This quality AM-FM radio isn't available in stores, but it's yours free with TV Guide. So order today. To order, call 1-800-592-0770. Have your credit card ready and get your free Baby Boombox with your paid subscription to TV Guide. That's 1-800-592-0770. Call now. Operators are standing by.
Okay. Here was the story that came over the wire. It's the kind of story you read one line and you don't really care about it and would never read any more. Although it's July, this is the way the story reads. Although it's July and 80 degrees throughout most of the country, elves have transformed Home Shopping Network's Florida studios into fantastic holiday scenes. I think that you read that one first sentence and you don't really care about the rest of the story at all. And so that's what I'm going to do before it gets into bad hands. The other thing is, I always still get a kick out of the man who's identified as the artist formerly known as Prince. There's got to be some other way to identify somebody besides that. But then again, I suppose if he were identified by something other than that, I wouldn't keep mentioning his name. Well, I don't mention his name all that much anyway. But maybe that's good for publicity purposes. Maybe I could be known as the artist formerly known as a schmuck. I don't know what, we'll just dump that too before it gets into very bad hands. 254-1030, we'll take a couple of calls before 5 o'clock. It's 4:43 right now. I'll give you the exact 4:43 time. Woof, 4:43 right now. But then again, we're on delay, so you probably got that at 4:43:10. Anyway, let me hear from you. I do like to talk to you before we go off the air. And the lines are all open. 617-254-1030. A lot of interesting guests coming up this weekend. I'll tell you about them in just a minute. But first, the Cremation Society meeting is in order. Thank you.
You know, most people don't think about arrangements for their own memorial service, or for that matter, even discuss it with their loved ones because of religious or moral beliefs. Standard funeral services may not be appropriate, but you may want to know about an alternative to the costly and involved mortuary cemetery system. The Cremation Society of Massachusetts has a free brochure they'd like to send you that answers 15 of the most difficult but commonly asked questions about cremation. If you'd like a brochure, or if you just have questions of your own, call 1-800-696-5887. There's no obligation, and the call is free. The Cremation Society of Massachusetts is sensitive to all aspects of this subject, and they'll handle your call and your questions with dignity and respect. Call 1-800-696-5887. The Cremation Society of Massachusetts, an alternative to standard arrangements. 1-800-696-5887.
Okay, the Red Sox won last night. Mo Vaughn hit his 29th home run, and the Red Sox overpowered the Orioles, 13-2, Vaughn drove in 5 runs. Had a great game. Mike Stanley also hit a home run. Let's see. He hit a 3-run homer. And so anyway, that was the final score, 13-2, the Red Sox over the Orioles. Red Sox in third place now. We'll have more details on that a little bit later on. 5 o'clock will bring us the news with Bill Lawrence and the WBZ News team. Now, I was telling you about some of the people we're going to have on the program tonight, for example. Here, let me rattle some more papers in your ear. I've got some very interesting people. Brendan Gill, who's a writer for the New Yorker magazine, has written a book called Late Bloomers, and he talks about people whose achievements came or were recognized later in life. You know, a lot of times you feel like if I haven't achieved some kind of success by the time I'm 30 or 35 or certainly 40 at the most, I've lost it. Obviously, I don't have anything going for me. But that's not true of people like Colonel Sanders, Emily Post, Julia Child, for example. They all were older when they suddenly became super people. I'm not super people, but you know what I mean. I became super names. Okay, anyway, that's tonight at 11 when we come on the air. Tonight at midnight, we'll be interviewing Michael Carl Witzel, who's written a book called Route 66 Remembered, a tribute to what is probably the most famous highway in American history. And he will take us on a mile-by-mile drive down that very road as we visit diners, motels, and roadside attractions of all sorts. And made memorable, too, by songs like Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Oh, baby. Anyway, Jeff Parrietti will be with us Sunday night at 11. He's a sports writer and author of the book of truly stupid sports quotes. Sounds like a David Letterman thing. Filled with all kinds of winners, winning little sentences. I did a couple of them earlier. I get up at 6 a.m. no matter what time it is. Some sports person said that. Anyway, we'll talk with him at 11 and quote some of the funny things he's got in his book. And then at midnight on Sunday night, Timothy B. Doe, who writes resumes for a living, has written a book called Historic Resumes of Famous Americans. What it's like, for example, if Abraham Lincoln sat down and applied for a job, what he would put on his resume. So it's a funny idea. And that's coming up a Sunday night at the 12:05. Thank you. There was one other story here, too, that I thought I could hardly wait to get on the air to tell you about. They will add on to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Let's see, they plan to add, because that just opened, didn't it, within the past year or two, something like that. They plan to add another 30,000 square feet to the hall, the Rock and Roll Hall in Cleveland. I guess it's called the Rock Hall of Fame. But they're going to add 30,000 square feet to that, and that will let officials throw parties without shutting down parts of the museum. So people can still go through there while the parties are going on this other section. The expansion will cost about $10 million. They obviously are doing very, very well with that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. The hall has made about $1 million from booking parties, but they could make a lot more if the addition is built, and they have this special area where they can have parties, and they hope to start construction this spring and finish it by the summer of 98. Again, a cost of $10 million, but apparently they're doing well enough to do that. What kind of a Hall of Fame could we have here in Boston? You hate to see Cleveland have this and us being kept out of it. Must be some area, some kind of music. I guess rock and roll is more universally loved than most any other kind. I mean, you probably wouldn't make a whole lot if it were like the opera Hall of Fame or something. Certainly not, even though I love jazz. That doesn't make you a whole lot of money either. We'll have to come up with something. Anyway, those are some of the things happening. The time is 4:49. The lines are totally open right now, so an easy time to call, and you won't have to wait at all, and I'd love to hear from you, old sport.
Here's something you may not have realized. Recycled for cash. It's those old pieces of dental gold that you've saved over the years, like caps and bridges. They're worth lots of cash, and Lippincott Dental has a recycling department waiting to pay you cash. Lippincott buys dental gold from thousands of dentists, and now you can send your old dental pieces to Lippincott with 100% confidence using their free recycle kit. That's right. Lippincott will send you a free recycle kit, and you'll be paid top prices, because it's going directly to America's largest buyer of dental gold. For a free recycle kit, just call 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD. So gather up those old caps, parcels, and bridges. Each cap is worth up to $20, and the recycle kit is free. Call 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD. A recycle kit will be sent to you right away. Lippincott will send you a check for all your dental pieces, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. It's quick, and you receive top dollar for your old dental bridges and caps. Call 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD, and your free recycle kit is in the mail. That's 1-800-WE-BUY-GOLD. Call now.
I guess you can call right this minute here, and you call us too. Our lines are lighting up. That's nice, and I really appreciate that. I told you news coming along at 5. Bill Lawrence and sports and weather and all kinds of information coming your way, and nice to have you with us, old sport. Okay, let's see. Somebody's on line one, I'll bet you. Let's try. No?
Norm.
Yes, hi. Who's this?
My name's Tom. I talked with you a couple weeks ago.
How you doing, Tom, a couple of weeks ago?
Good. You're my best friend. Remember, we were going to hang out together and go to the same school and share lunches and everything?
Yes, that's right. I recall that.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did, because I quit my job and I sold the house and I said goodbye to all my friends and moved to the Boston area.
I didn't realize you were taking that drastic a step, though, but that's you're really going for things whole hog, and that's what I like about you, Tom.
Hey, how come people are good friends or best friends, but nobody is a better friend? Shouldn't it be good, better, best?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, and I don't know how to answer you with that. That should be that category, but I don't know about it.
I got to thinking, too. Last time we talked, you brought up the idea of your game show, Guess the Disease.
Yeah.
And the premise was that, as I recall, there'd be somebody wheeled out, and you'd have doctors there, and they would say, well, do you have blood in your stool or something of that nature?
Yeah. That was one of the questions. They would ask a series of questions, like 20 questions, or they could keep asking questions as long as the patient said yes.
Right.
Well, as soon as the patient said no, they would move on to the next doctor, and then they had to guess. That's right, but you're right.
I get to thinking about that. Now, you know, we could really work on this because, number one, you know, the starting question could always be, is your disease contagious? Everybody could have those surgical masks to begin with. And if the person says no, then they remove the mask. And, you know, one of the doctors could be one of the fake doctors from TV, you know. Or you could have several real doctors there and then somebody who plays a doctor from TV. After you could come out and, you know, your white coat doctor's smock with a stethoscope. And, you know, I got to thinking Kim Alexis would probably be available to be sort of the Vanna White of the show.
Oh, now, see, I don't know that name. Kim Alexis, now, who is that?
Well, she was a model that for some of the sports magazines and Sports Illustrated and so forth. But she... does a hemorrhoid commercial and also vaginal yeast.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
And you know, I mean, she doesn't have too many bodily orifices left. So I figured that you know she'd probably work rather cheaply.
No, that's true. I think she would be perfect.
And she'd fit right in there. You know, we probably can get samples to give away as parting gifts along with the rectal thermometers.
That's right. You were the one who suggested the rectal thermometers.
I think we can really make a go of that.
See, now, I just tossed that out as an idea, and you have developed it to a very fine point to where it seems to me there is a market for this and probably sponsors who are willing to pay big bucks
probably
to do it.
Probably the Cremation Society.
The Cremation Society, certainly.
You know, I had thought about having myself cremated. I figured my critics would say that there he goes making an ash out of himself again.
Okay.
You know, earlier your shoe museum situation. You know, at first when I heard that that's what you were having on, I figured, well, you know, he'd be interested in this, Imelda Marcos, and maybe that agent that Marlon Maples had the shoe fetish.
Yes.
But that guy was really interesting.
No, he really was. Tony Nesbitt, let's see, let me look at the card and get some cards printed up. He calls, that's right, he's the coordinating producer, it says, Norm Nathan Show. Anyway, Tony lines up these guests, and sometimes we talk about them in advance. He'll say, what do you think of this, or what do you think, here's a funny book, should we get this guy on, or here's a funny clipping from the AP machine or wire or something. And sometimes I think he's going nuts, you know. And when he said the... going to have somebody on from a shoe museum in Toronto, Canada. At first I thought, I don't think I'm going to be really thrilled with that. And although Tony has very rarely let me down, most of the time he's picked people who, even though I may not have gone along with originally, turn out to be kind of fun. I thought this guy was too. I thought he was fascinating.
Yes.
I was glad to have him on the air. I want to be very frank.
There were a lot of things there that I hadn't realized, like, you know, as he pointed out, that a lot of the costumes and so forth, the people wore that were preserved, the reason it was preserved because nobody else was able to wear it, and that's why smaller sizes were what were preserved throughout history.
You know, that's right, because he mentioned the Essex Institute as having a good shoe collection, but also, I mentioned, has a good... I don't know. We wouldn't call them costumes. This was a regular dress that people wore in suits and things back a few hundred years. And they all are fairly tiny. And so we just assume that people were smaller then, but apparently not.
You know, what was interesting, too, is where he said that during the one century that people would had smaller beds because they would go to sleep sitting up, which seemed odd to me. I mean, I don't understand the reasoning for that.
No, our guys were... He described them as proud peacocks. They were the ones who wore the breeches that I guess came just before their knee or just below the knee. So they padded their silk stockings, which the guys wore, in order to make their leg more shapely. And they did, and they put, they had heels so that the calf would look better or bigger or something. It's just hard for, and they wore the powdered wigs and all fancy kind of clothing. More so that they were more fancy dressed than women were.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I by the way, Norma, while I've got you on the line, if this idea for this show doesn't work out, I've got a backup for us.
Oh, yeah. Now, tell me about that.
Well, you know, this company that's advertising about the gold bridges and so forth, a denture company?
Yeah.
Well, if anybody has any steel pins in their knees or in their hips or anything, or a metal plate in their heads, or remnants of bullets, you know, from bullet wounds?
Yeah.
Well, they can just send those in, and we'll pay them cash for it.
I think that's really nice. But do you think there's a problem about people now being held up by guys who are trying to cash, you know, trying to get the silver or the gold out of their teeth and stuff?
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, you know, hand over your bridge work and stuff. I wondered if people who have a lot of bridge work with a lot of gold in it are not going to be put in some kind of a treacherous position.
Yeah, you can see the robber there with one of those little dental mirrors and a flashlight and saying, open your mouth, you know, I'll believe you.
I know, that's right, yeah. No, I just have one little thing. There's no gold. It's not. Open your mouth. Yeah.
Say ah.
Yeah, you're lying to me, fella. You know something? You're as weird as I am.
Hey, I've been listening to you a long time, Norm. I guess it's catchy.
No, maybe you've been listening to you a long time because you're weird, too. Hey, I thank you very, very much for the call. Thanks
yes,
a
sir.
Million. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Do we have another commercial between now and 5? I thought we did them all, didn't we, including the... Including a couple that I won't even mention that now. Okay. Anyway, in an hour and a half, a minute and a half, we'll be off the air. We'll be back again tonight. And I thank you very much for listening through this past. I love that guy. Because he is weird. He's as weird as I am. And I love weird people. I think they're very special. And they make life very, very interesting. So if you're weird and we didn't get a chance to answer your call this time, do call me tonight. We'll be on after 11 o'clock and right through the night. With some of the guests that I mentioned, including the late bloomer thing, the New York writer Brendan Gill, that's New Yorker, not just New York writer, but he writes for the New Yorker magazine, Brendan Gill, and talking about people who got their starts and or their recognition fairly late in life. Stay tuned now for Bill Lawrence and the news and a whole team of first-rate reporters and news people updating you on things. A lot of sports, of course. This is beginning of the sports weekend, a lot of stuff like that. Tonight we have a baseball game, but that's a fairly early one, so we should be on probably by 11 o'clock anyway. On behalf of Tom Howie and our coordinating producer, Tony Nesbitt, and the lovely Marilyn Gorelnik, and myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan Person, have a great day. Bye-bye, old sport.
You're listening to the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of news radio, WBZ Boston. News Radio 1030, your first choice, all day, every day.
And good morning. It's 5 o'clock now. Boston temperature 62 degrees at WBZ. AccuWeather meteorologist Mike Lucini is calling for a very windy day. Gusts past 40 miles an hour. And there'll be a mix of clouds and sun today. High temperature about 84 degrees. And tonight, clear, windy continued. 60 overnight. And Sunday, mostly sunny. Continued windy, though. High of 82. I'm Bill Lawrence, and this is the WBZ Weekend News. Percussionists performing a composition called Call to Nations. It was composed especially for the Summer Olympics by former Grateful Dead drummer Mickey Hart. As Atlanta opens the 100th Olympics last night, President Clinton was there to welcome the world's athletes, and Muhammad Ali, himself the winner of Olympic gold, did the honors in lighting the Olympic flame that now burns atop Olympic Stadium. The arm holding the torch was shaking. Nevertheless, the greatest stood with all the dignity he's displayed through the years as the Olympic cauldron was lighted in Atlanta. The honor of lighting that cauldron fell to Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest, most colorful Olympic professional athletes in history. Ali, then fighting under the name Cassius Clay, won the gold medal in the light heavyweight boxing division back in 1960 in Rome. Earlier in the day, President Clinton met with the members of the U.S. contingent, urging them to go for the gold, but saying no matter what the outcome, America is already proud of them.
By making this team, you become part of America's team. And for the rest of your lives, other people will look to you in a different way.
Men's gymnastics and basketball are among the leadoff events today, but the very first events to get underway are field hockey and shooting.
Oh.
Oh, as you can hear, the kids in the teen canteen are having a great time. Yes, Norm's vault of silliness can fit an entire merry-go-round inside. And speaking of the vault, didn't it hand us a generous helping of good times with this episode? Where do I even begin with the list of credits? Well, I can start by closing the vault and surfing the radio waves home. You see what I did there? The talk about Revere Beach and... never mind. For the ever-patient Edward Mader, Sensible Shoes, Reaching for the Brass Ring, Frolic's Nightclub, Punk's Corner, The Smell of Salt Air, the older ladies who seared Norm's childhood memory, Richard Jenny, ancient Greek Olympic comedian Meyer Marathon, the WBZ Farm Stand, Richardson's Dairy, Barbershops, Cheap Funky Limo Service, Rome, Italy, Raspberry Jello with Cool Whip, Gold Fillings, Baby Boom Boxes, the Cremation Society of Massachusetts, Majesty Cruise Lines, Carlson Vaginally Travel, Tom Howie, Bill Lawrence, and the artist, formerly known as a schmuck, Norm Nathan. I'm coordinating producer, Tony Nesbitt.